This is a very familiar passage to us. Luke chapter 15, picking it up in verse 11, the King James Version. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your children again this day. And Father, asking you once again to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking would see your son Jesus, he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. Confirm your word today with signs and wonders that will give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject, somewhere in tomorrow. Somewhere in tomorrow. Now, how many of you have already looked at tomorrow and see what all you've got to do? Have you looked and said, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to go for a checkup in the morning? And so I realized something that I will take, and today I say I've got that to do tomorrow, but in the morning when I wake up on the bed, I'll look up and say, I've got to go to the doctor today. So at some point, tomorrow becomes the day. When does that happen? 12 o'clock midnight. Can you say amen? Immediately 12 o'clock midnight, tomorrow dies and the day begins. And guess what? Tomorrow is no more into that sense. But at the same time, when one is gone, a new one is born. Can you say amen? And so how many of you understand that we live in a day that our faith, and we live in today, and we live in our world, we walk in this world, we're not subject to the things of this world, but at the same time, our hope and our desires and our vision are in tomorrow. Can you say amen? And man, if I'm not healed today, I'm looking for tomorrow. Can you say praise the Lord? If I'm struggling today in my walk, then tomorrow is going to be better. When I was growing up, I lived out in the country, and I was born as an only child basically for 20 years before mom and dad had my sister. But as a result of it, I grew up in a world, and our nearest neighbor was 5 miles away. And so down there, they had some boys down there, but all those people, they bought dogs, chickens, and homemade homebrew and stayed drunk all the time. And so mother explained to me when I was about 14 that before I would turn out like that, she would kill me and take me out of this world. Due to my previous experience with Mama and her word, I knew she meant what she said, so I believed her. Can you say amen? Well, it didn't turn out too bad for me. I've never been drunk, don't know what whiskey tastes like or drug, and I don't regret it for one iota, because I see people that are under that influence and it's dominating and ruining their lives. Can you say amen? Thank God that God is able to deliver us from all things. Amen. But because of it, I lived in a world of my own. If I went out to play out in the yard during the daytime, I had to play by myself. So I learned to use my imagination, okay? And, you know, and the beautiful part of it was I could become anything I wanted to be. I could be Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp at the OK Corral shooting it out with the Clintons, or I could be on a starship headed for the moon. I could be anything I wanted to be, amen. But I had to take and use my imagination, amen. Now, imagination has a way of, when it is operated and governed by the Holy Ghost, of a marvelous thing, amen. It'll take and build churches. It'll make and turn the world upside down. An imagination that is governed by an evil spirit will cause people to murder, to kill, and things of that nature. And that's why your imagination is so important. As Sister Teresa has all told about our bodies, to keep not only our spirit, but our soul and our body also under subjection to the Word of God. Can you say amen? Now, as a result of this, I found out right quick that through my imagination, I could be anything I wanted to be. Well, I've also discovered that through my imagination, I could look into tomorrow, amen? And I would make big plans, and I would take and do what I've done. For instance, we were building a fort. I was building a fort. And I would build half of it today. Tomorrow, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. But how many of you know that all of a sudden tomorrow is one of those things that it's always near, but it never gets here, amen? Because 12 o'clock tonight, the thing, how many of you is having a pretty good day today? Raise your hand, okay? Now, do you realize that all that worry you did yesterday about tomorrow come to nothing? And say, amen? All that concern you had, why? Because tomorrow never got here. It's the day that we're doing things. Now, keeping this in mind, tomorrow is a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful fantasy, if you want to call it that, because I can believe God for all things tomorrow. Amen. You say, well, I can believe him for today. That's very true. But how many of you know that if you're walking in this world that you're going to have conflict? And, of course, that is to help us with our walk with God. But I want us to look at this and find out some things in our own life. First of all, the wonderful world of tomorrow, it's here, but it never gets here. In other words, Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for its things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It only lives 24 hours. That's the thing about it. It's something that comes, and it's here tonight. And, brother, we look forward to tomorrow. I've already laid out things and talked about what I've got to do tomorrow. Some of you got to get up and go to work. Some of us got to go do various things. And all of a sudden, I realized that in the morning, when I wake up, it'll no longer be tomorrow, it'll be today. So I've got to get up and get about my business if I'm going to accomplish anything today. The dreams of tomorrow will never come to pass until you get active in today and let them become what God wants them to become in the name of Jesus. It only lives for one night, for 24 hours, and yet I see people struggling over and over and over in their walk with God, in their relationship with humanity, in their life, of things that are not going the way they want them to, the things not going the way they ought to go. And I see them struggling, and they dread for tomorrow to come. Amen. I talked to somebody not long ago. They said, Brother Day, I just dread to wake up and know that tomorrow is here, because tomorrow I've got to do this, and that. Friend, when that's your problem, realize one thing, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God deliverance, that God wants to touch us and lift us up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the thing about tomorrow is that it holds my future. It holds my destiny. It carries all of my dreams. When I wake up and I walk down here today, I realize that this is reality. Amen. Now, in my dreams, I can think about tomorrow, and I may be going to the hospital, and praying. I can think about all these things I can do for God. But when reality comes, how many of you know that that's today and that's now? Amen. And the things you're going through now is the things that matter today. But through our tomorrows, we can look forward to God bringing us deliverance, God bringing us a touch of glory. And brother, look up towards heaven and say, it matters not today what I'm going through, because tomorrow, somewhere in tomorrow, my God is going to meet me and deliver me and set me free. In the name. Amen. Now, it's the dreams. My dreams are in tomorrow. Amen. I have things that I want to do today, but I have dreams and visions of greatness tomorrow. Amen. My vision is in tomorrow. I appreciate everything God did for me yesterday. Amen. How he used me. I appreciate everything God has done for me thus far today. How he's directed my path and brought me here to be with you guys. But at the same time, I realize that, friend, that's just the tip of the iceberg, amen, because God is a great God that moves in mighty ways. And, friend, it matters not how he moved for you today. Look into tomorrow and get your vision there and get your dream there and let God arise and let his enemies be scattered and up with you and look forward. Because tomorrow is the day, will be today at 12 o'clock tonight. And that's when God's going to do great things for us in the name of Jesus. To reach the land of tomorrow, I've got to survive today. Just because my dreams, my hopes, my vision is in tomorrow doesn't mean that I can ignore today. And say amen. Because at the same time, just because my dreams and hope and faith is in tomorrow doesn't mean that I'm not hurting today. Did you say amen? It doesn't mean that my light bills not got to be paid today. We're living in a reality. Today is reality. And in order to reach tomorrow, I have got to survive the reality of the day. Don't get distracted. I know people that are so heavenly minded, they know earthly good. They're always living in some world over yonder where God's going to do something great and wonderful, yet they ignore the very opportunities that pass before their lives every day instead of getting up and being about the Father's business. People ask me constantly from time to time. They'll ask me, Brother Day, how do you manage to go full-time in the ministry? I tell them all the same thing, identically the same thing. Brother, you do what your hands find to do for God today, and when it gets to where you don't have time enough to do it all, he'll make a way for you to have time to do it all. Can you say amen? And brother, as long as we stay busy today in the reality and move when God says move, tomorrow's going to bring mightier things, greater things in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's where my vision is somewhere in tomorrow. When you look at it, my doubts and my fears, they're real today. People have their doubts, their fears. They say, well, control them. I understand that. I understand that principle. But sometimes they slip upon you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're not looking for it. Sometimes you're not ready for it. Why is it that when a pain comes, you automatically assume the negative rather than the positive? You say, well, Brother Day, I receive the positive. Yes, sir, I agree with that. Sometimes that doesn't make the pain go away. But you have the assurance that I'm living in the reality, but by the grace of God, somewhere in tomorrow is my deliverance, and God's going to set me free in the name of Jesus. Amen. To reach tomorrow, I've got to survive today. Amen. That means I've got to get up and fight my battle. You can't just fight Satan any way you want to fight him. You've got to fight him God's way if you're going to win. Amen. You can't bring rated accusations. I see people doing this all the time. Well, what? I don't feel good today. I don't feel right today. Well, what happened, old devil? Well, what did the old devil do? Oh, I sat up all night last night, watched television. That had nothing to do with the devil, honey. You got that one. What if you're going to, you can't just accuse the devil and rebuke him and him go away. God does not accept accusations from him against you, neither will he accept an accusation from you against him that's false. God deals in righteousness, and only righteousness sets you and makes you free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the thing about it is, I've got to survive. I can't help it when I hurt. I can't help it when I don't feel good. I can help it from staying up all night watching television and feel rotten when I get to church because I can go to bed. Can you say amen? And so I can deal with what I can control. But some things in life you can't control. As a result of it, I suffer the pains of living now, but at the same time I have my hope and my faith in my God, and I may not know when, and I may not know how, but I know he'll do it again in the name of Jesus. So I've got to survive to get to tomorrow, because if he didn't do it today, he's going to do it tomorrow. Can you say amen? Now, let's look at our text that we read. The prodigal son, living in the now, in the reality of today. He comes to his father and says, give me my inheritance. He takes his inheritance and he goes into a far land. He leaves the father's side. He leaves the father's house. He leaves the father's influence. He leaves the father's wisdom and takes out on his own. I know people that have done that over and over and over, and they wind up in the same shape the prodigal son is, okay, or was. Amen. As a result of it, when you start moving away from God, you're going to wind up in a rough shape if you're not careful. Amen. Now, as a result of it, he went into a far land, and he wasted his substance there with riotous living. The word riotous here, that means, it doesn't mean that he drank it all up in booze. It doesn't mean he spent it all on drugs. It means excessive living that wasn't particularly necessary. How many of you know that sometimes you just don't need that new car as you think, bad as you think you do? But you go ahead and get it to keep up with the Joneses. Hello? Y'all quiet on me today, okay? Now, all of a sudden, he comes down and he's wasting his riotous living. Now, Brother Scotty told you a minute ago, and I've heard him say it time and time again, when you're paying tithe, you're not giving it to get back what God can give you for it. Hello? I hear a lot of them teach it. I hear a lot of preach it. I don't do that. I give it because I love the Lord. The second reason I give it is because it's warfare. It's one of the weapons that God has put in my life to wage against the poverty that comes to people's lives. Amen. Now, the Bible says that if you cast your bread upon the water, it'll go forth and return unto you after many days. I did a word study on that one scripture one time, completely in the Hebrew. And let me tell you what, friend, amen, of the Greek. When you cast it out there, you send it forth. And it goes forth and does battle for you. It wages warfare against your enemies, called poverty, hello, hunger. And then when you need it the most, it comes back to you victorious, tenfold, hundredfold. Can you say amen, somebody? So it's warfare. Prayer is warfare, amen? Praise is warfare. We're taking and moving into areas that the enemy has used to control it. And, brother, as a result of it, we go to war. So when you put it in that plate, thank God that he's given you a weapon. Money is a wonderful thing. Can you say amen? Till you fall in love with it. And once you fall in love with it, the love of money is the root of all evil. So know what God's blessed you and use the weapons God's given you for it. Now, he goes out. And all of a sudden, you look. Here's a man that goes out, and all of a sudden, he finds himself, his money is gone. He can't even buy nothing to eat. And as a result of it, he joins himself to a citizen of the country, and he sends him out to feed the swine. Now, you and I know the relationship that the Jews had with the swine. They were not to have any relationship at all with swine. It was the lowest a man could go. And here he has gone so low. Now, I don't know about you, but has anybody, he was feeding the swine. Has anybody in here ever raised a hog? Uh-huh. What are you shaking your head there for, boy? Amen. Well, it's been a long time. When I was growing up, we raised our food like that, and that's great, amen. But the thing about the old hog was that Daddy built a pen, me and him did, and we put the hog in there, and the hog would stay in there back and forth, and we always had a trough that we would pour the food in, okay? And for some strange reason, we would try to nail it to the wire to keep it, but every time that old hog would manage to get that trough right out in the middle of that hog pen. And you had to get across the fence to get it and drag it over to where you could pour the food in or take the bucket out there with you, okay? How many of you ever tried to get that smell off of you after you got out of the hog pen? That is the awfulest smell, the hardest smell to get off of you. We had a big old pair of rubber boots that we'd slip our feet in and go over there and then come back and take them off. Sometimes that worked and sometimes it didn't, amen? But it was horrible. Now, this man is used to the fellowship of the Father. He's used to the peace of the Father's house. He's used to taking and being somebody in the Father's house. And look how low he has gone, amen, by walking away from the Father's house. He's living in today, amen, not tomorrow. He's living in today. He's hurting. He's down. He's out. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that when he came to himself, if he wasn't himself, who was he when he came to himself? You say, well, Brother Day, he was the same man. That's not what the Bible indicates here. The Father said he was dead. Okay? If he wasn't himself, who is the real him? The real him is the one that the Father taught how to live successfully, how to stay in the Father's graces and the Father's house, to walk the way that God wanted him to walk and be blessed and be a blessing to the church, the family that he was in, and things of that nature. And now he's become somebody that even he doesn't know who he is. Amen? How did he get that way? We are in a spiritual warfare. Right now, demonic activity has been loosed like it's never been loosed before upon the church, trying to destroy you and destroy me and make somebody out of us that we don't even know who we are anymore. How many marriages is split? How many marriages are divorced? They'll tell me, he's not the man I married him. She's not the woman she was when I married her. She's not that he's changed into somebody I don't even know who they are. How does that happen? Sister Teresa will tell you it's by self-will and self-indulgence of the flesh. Can you say amen? And she's perfectly true and right on that, okay? But the thing about it is, why would you let it happen to you? Why would you walk away from the blessings of the Father's house and choose to wallow in a mud hole in a hog pen somewhere and starve to death? Because something had influenced him to such an extent that he had become somebody that even he didn't know. You know, I used to think I knew who I was. But every time I do that, God will get me in his presence and let me know I'm not who I thought I was. He'll melt you down, change you. Could you say amen? Here I thought I was in pretty good shape, and he goes to work on me. I said, dear God, I wasn't even close. I just thought I was. Well, what happened? I was somebody that I knew, but I was somebody that God didn't know. Because the child, who are the sons of God? Okay, Sister Teresa said it earlier. that keep his commandments. They're the disciples. Now, the Bible says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Now, we don't recognize the difference in birth and the spirit realm, okay? But the fact of it is that these spirits now are coming and attacking people's minds and attacking their bodies and causing them to believe that the kingdom is on a downturn instead of the upturn. They're making the church because they're scared to death of what might happen to them when they get here. Get up in the name of Jesus. You become somebody we don't know anymore. You used to walk in here and shout the victory. You used to walk in here and praise God. You used to come regardless of what was going on. Who are you now? You become somebody. I know back years ago when the televangelists, a lot of them was going through a lot of problem, and their ministries was being attacked, well, through their own deeds. And one of them in particular, Jimmy Swaggart, when it came out on the news what he had done, I looked over at Gloria and I said, I will not believe that till I hear it out of his own mouth. And then when I heard it out of his own mouth, I realized he had become somebody that I didn't know. Hello? He had become somebody I didn't know. So who was this prodigal son? Now the scripture says that whoever you yield your members to obey, that's whose servant you are. Did he say amen? So here he is. He has listened and got so low, but he came to himself. Finally he realized that in my Father's house is safety, in my Father's house is blessed. In my Father's way is what I got to be. I knew what I used to be, but I've become something I don't even know anymore. Now the Father, when he said, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm going back home to my Father. He starts on the way home, and look what the Father said. He said, this my son was what? Dead and is now alive. He had become somebody that even the Father didn't know anymore. Don't tell me your name won't be taken out of the book of life. Don't tell me he won't set you free from it. Brother, look up towards God and realize that our minds and our thinking that we've been attacked till we become somebody that even God doesn't know anymore. Anybody ever look over one of their kids and they're doing something in public? You say, I don't know that kid. I hope nobody knows who he belongs to. We've all had that episode at one time or other in our lives. Teasing or whatever, but, you know. You, brother. Uh-huh. Now, as a result of it, he had become, how did he get that way, okay? Through his own self-desire. Through his own self-will, okay? I don't want to reteach her Sunday school lesson because I thought she'd getting up my whole sermon this morning. But you've got to learn that a lot of things are appearance-wise, but they're just not necessary. Bert Clendenin made a statement. He said that his old car had a lot of miles on it, and he said that he thought, well, said, we've got a little extra here, said, told his wife, said, I'm going to go down and get us a new car. Said, we deserve it. We've had this in a long time. And said he started down to the car dealership, and the Lord spoke to him and said, your old one is just fine. Do you know how many souls you can win on the mission field with this money? And said he turned around and sent the money to the mission field. Amen. Now, a lot of times we look at things different because I want it, because I want it, because I want it. But I have found that blessings that you want don't necessarily always turn out the way you want them to. Hello? Somebody come to me not long ago, young lady did, and she would tell me, oh, how bad they was, they hadn't been married long. And I said, well, you prayed for him, so. You ask God to give him to you. You got him now. Enjoy him. Did he say amen? So you may as well enjoy him. I mean, you knew that like that before you asked God for him. You turn around and ask God for him anyway. Gloria came to the house one day, and I said, can I ask you something? We'd been married about 40 years, I think, then. She said, what's that? I said, did you marry me with the idea of changing me? She said, of course. Just kept on walking. And so I walked on in the den in there where she was at, and I said, well, after 40 years, let me ask you, how's that working out for you now? She said, pretty good after I finally figured out how to handle you. Well, I'm wanting to learn something. And I said, well, how's that? She said, I just sick the Lord on you. I said, that'll do it. Can you say amen? That'll straighten it out in a hurry. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, you see, we're under attack, and we're these things because we live in the real. We live in the here and the now. Amen. The beautiful part is we're of this world, in this world, but not of this world. That means that while I'm going through the real reality of real, I can have the hope of tomorrow, that somewhere in tomorrow, God is going to bless me, that God's going to lift me, that God's going to set me free in the name of Jesus. It's not a time to get down. It's not a time to get discouraged. Amen. But you stand on this logos and you hang on, because tomorrow, 12 o'clock tonight, will be a brand new day coming your way. So get up with it in the name of Jesus. Now, he comes home and he finds that man can go to the lowest of the low, to where he don't even recognize himself anymore. I am so thankful to look across this house. I told Brother Scotty this earlier. And look at all these young men and young ladies coming up in the ways of God, in the house of God. Amen. Because I see so many that are drug ripped and their lives are torn apart, and they're ready to end their lives as a result of it. And I look around and I say, but there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. You may live in the pain of now, but God can touch you and lift you out of that thing and set you free from it. Many of them have been, and in church today, many of them haven't been, amen. But the thing I'm stressing is this, that in tomorrow there is hope, there is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you can't have hope, you can't have faith in the name of Jesus. And there's one thing I know about my God, and that is that whatever I'm able to believe, he's able to perform in the name of Jesus. And half the time he gives it to me without me believing, just because he knows I need it. Y'all know about that one too. Can you say amen? So what about it? Somewhere in tomorrow, it doesn't matter what's happening to me today. It doesn't matter what I'm going through today. That is absolutely not important in my life, okay? But what does matter to me is that tomorrow's coming. And tomorrow has, right now is holding all my dreams, all of my hopes, all of my desires of what God's going to do. How many of you want a greater move of God than what you got? How many of you know that's tomorrow? Can you say amen? So somewhere in tomorrow, he's got it. I've just got to survive till I get there. So I'm not going to get discouraged. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I knew that I was going to get hurt in church. Has anybody in here ever not been hurt in church one time or other? And I knew I was going to get hurt. But I made up my mind because Raglan didn't believe in tongue talking that day and time. May not today, for all I know. Gloria and I were the first people in Raglan, Alabama, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. White folks, that is. Now, as a result of it, I knew I was going to get hurt. They kicked me out of the church. Hurt? I knew it was coming. But Brother Scotty, I knew one thing. I knew that what God gave me was real, and that somewhere in tomorrow was my deliverance. I didn't know when they kicked me out of the church that that was going to be my deliverance. Can you say amen? But by the time tomorrow got here, the reality of day was gone. The blessings of tomorrow was here, and I've been going ever since in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, tomorrow has it. Somewhere in tomorrow, God's going to fulfill your vision. Somewhere in tomorrow, God is going to fulfill your dream. You say, well, Brother Dave, what about today? If not today, tomorrow. Can you say amen? Because today is the tomorrow you were believing for yesterday. So expect it in the name of Jesus, okay? Now, somewhere in tomorrow is our deliverance. Somewhere in tomorrow is my hopes and my dreams. Somewhere in tomorrow, the eastern sky is going to roll up. A white horse is going to come riding, and he that sits on it is going to blow, Gabriel going to blow that trumpet, and we're going to leave here in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, amen? That puts a different thing on today, amen? Because regardless of what I'm going through today, I know that tomorrow, somewhere in tomorrow, that white horse is going to ride, and I'm going to leave here, streets of gold, river of life, and meet the one that bought it all for me in the name of Jesus. So it matters not what you're going through today, because there's tomorrow. And somewhere in tomorrow, God's going to touch us and lift us and set us free. You can say amen. And God is going to bless us. So what does that do to me? It just lets me know. Put another little spring in my step. Put another little shout in my praise. And just keep on keeping on, because God's going to move by the power of His Holy Ghost. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father,